We are talking to Mrs. Charlotte Melvin from Ricker College in Houghton, Maine. Mrs. Melvin is a consultant to the Aroostook Library's Oral History Project. Mrs. Melvin?
Yes, and this is financed by a grant under Title I of the Federal Library Service and Construction Act. It's designed to be an informal history of the this part of the state of Maine.
Well, you've had a long interest in the history of this region. Will you tell us a little bit about the historical background of the area for us?
Yes. My interest in the history of this region goes way, way back into family history. My first thesis as an undergraduate at the University of Maine dealt with the Swedish settlements in Aroostook County. And some of my graduate work, particularly at the University of New Brunswick in Fredericton, New Brunswick, helped me, I think, a good deal in understanding the history of this region. Aroostook County is quite different from the rest of Maine, recognizably so, and many people in the state and county quite often call it simply the county. For one thing, probably, it's not down east, as they say, at all. That expression is a maritime expression, whereas Aroostook County is way inland, far away from the ocean. It's separated, too, from the rest of the state of Maine by a sizable stretch of territory that is not thickly settled. And so the rest of Maine seems to be way outside to the people of Aroostook. It's located on the northeastern corner of the state of Maine and of the United States, far enough north so that the climate creates a problem for agriculture. Certain crops don't grow reliably in Aroostook County. Corn, for example. In northern areas of the county, wheat is not ordinarily grown. The tapes which have been made in this project frequently indirectly reinforce some of these comments. You'll notice, for example, that the people in the upper St. John River Valley speak of raising buckwheat largely, but not wheat. The soil in Aroostook County, in the eastern regions of the county, is really quite good, and was known for a long time as the best in Maine and perhaps in New England as a whole. If we take a good look at the geography of the region, ignoring the accident of the international border between the United States and Canada, you can notice that the main feature of the region is the St. John River Basin, a very large system with many large branches coming in both from the east and the west. Much of Aroostook County is drained by important branches of the St. John River, and the river itself forms part of the boundary between Maine and New Brunswick on the northern side of the county. This river system has been in the past a very important factor in the development of the county. For a long time, it was the major means of communication with the outside world and the major path of transportation of goods into and out of the region. As we think of the other factors that are different about Aroostook County, we think about the fact that it was settled later than the rest of the state of Maine, partly because of its inland location. This means that it was a frontier region for a longer period of time. 100 years ago, Aroostook County was very much like the frontier communities of the American West, for example. The population mixture which came into Aroostook County to settle is rather different from that of the rest of the state of Maine, so that even the accent of the people isn't quite like that is known as the down east accent. The R is sounded much more firmly. for example. A rustic is much more agricultural than the rest of Maine, concentrating in recent years primarily on the potato crop, for which it is quite famous. If you think about a rustic county, we realize that the western regions of the county are still largely forested and are not very much settled. The eastern ranges of townships in the county that are settled are the agricultural ones. And there are certain recognizable districts there too. The southern one, centering around Holton as a market town. The central region along the Aroostook Valley, one of the very large branches of the St. John River. Here, Presque Isle and Caribou and Fort Fairfield are the larger towns. Farther north, up in the valley, as they say, along the St. John River Valley itself and up towards St. Francis, is the final section of the county. The process of settlement and historical development has been a little different in these regions, and the groups of people who moved in there to settle in the first instance was a little different, as I shall comment in a minute. Geography then probably is a fundamental fact in the development of Aroostook County. Another important factor was international rivalry. Going way, way back to the days of rivalry between England and France before 1763, and then after the United States became independent, the rivalry between the United States and the British provinces for this territory. The outcome of that rivalry would determine who took control of the county and whose institutions were established there and what the major patterns of trade would be. If that rivalry had led to war, the outcome might have been very different indeed. Another important aspect of the history of Aroostook County has been the economic pull and push of the outside world. Here I'm thinking primarily of the influence of the United States after the United States became independent. If you think of the westward movement of agriculture and the great agricultural explosion that produced, in fact that would have on eastern agricultural regions, the industrial revolution and the mechanization of agriculture, the important changes in transportation with the coming of the canals and railroads, the changes in the lumber industry and demand and the price would greatly affect Aroostook County. And of course urbanization, which changes the market demands for whatever product Aroostook has had at different times, has had a major effect on the economic progress, or lack of it in any particular time, in Aroostook. The results of these outside factors, these unchangeable factors, geographic conditions, the international rivalry, the economic patterns of the outside world, has had results internally for Aroostook that produces the county as we know it. This accounted for the fact that the United States has this much territory and not more as it originally claimed, that Aroostook County was part of the United States and was to be controlled by Americans, and American institutions would become dominant, and that the demand for lumber and the demand for potatoes, the creation of the railroads came about in just the way it did, determined by these factors. The process of settlement, too, was affected by these factors. And we ought to look at that for a minute, because the story is a little different from that of the rest of the state of Maine. First, though, we ought to comment on the Indian population that was here when the white man came. These Indians were primarily Micmacs and Maliseets, and were forest-dwelling Indian tribes. Although there was some agriculture practiced by them down around Meductic, which isn't commonly recognized by the books on Indians of North America, perhaps, the rather limited knowledge that present-day Americans, including those of us that have of the Indians, is represented in these tapes by the lack of information and the uncertainty of information sometimes expressed. It is the tradition among the Indians that at one time way back in their history, they were in conflict with the Mohawk, the Iroquois nation of Indians in North America, and that on at least one occasion the Mohawks invaded this territory to be fighting with the local Indians. And there is a legend based on historical fact, no doubt, that exists in several forms in this region about the Mohawk expedition that was led to destruction over the Grand Falls by a heroic local princess. European colonization of North America by the French and the English is a background factor to the history of this immediate area. Settlement didn't come immediately, of course. The interior location made it so remote, and climate, of course, is a factor here, too. The English failures down around Popham led them farther south. And the early French failures in the St. Croix River Valley, St. Croix Island, and the limited scope of their activities in Acadia led them to concentrate more on Quebec. The French effort in Acadia was too small to have any effect on Aroostook. The French effort in the St. Lawrence settlements concentrated too much on the fur trade to involve the area that we think of as Aroostook County. However, the St. John River Valley was a major path of communication between Acadia and Quebec, and this region was traversed often by government agents, by messengers, and also by French missionary priests who were coming in to deal with the Indians. This region did not become a good fur trading region. The river pattern didn't lend itself to that. And French grants, land grants, seigneurial land grants, that were issued in the general area of the St. John River Basin were not much developed. However, this area was part of a frontier zone where the French territorial claims and the British territorial claims came into conflict with each other. And you have in the colonial era a series of wars between 1685 and 1783 when the French and English were contending for this area. The English captured Acadia twice and finally kept it in 1710 and expelled the Acadian population in 1755, some of those Acadians escaped expulsion and settled as squatters in the St. John River Valley. Others made their way back from exile and joined them in the area near Fredericton. The British finally captured the St. Lawrence Valley and kept it in 1763. The next major episode that affects the later history of Aroostook County is the American Revolution. Before that time, the nearest center of English population was in New England, which was expanding up into Vermont and along the Atlantic coast towards Nova Scotia and up along the lower reaches of the rivers and along the coast, but nowhere near Aroostook. The most important result of the American Revolution immediately for this region was that large numbers of the loyal British population in America, Americans called them Tories, Canadians called them United Empire Loyalists or simply Loyalists, came to that part of Nova Scotia, which is now called New Brunswick, to settle. Perhaps 30,000 of them, settling mostly along the St. John River up to Woodstock, which is adjacent to Houlton in southern Aroostook County today. Members of this population, especially their descendants, later moved into what is now Aroostook County, and it's very likely that something like a third of the total population of Aroostook originates from this British population in New Brunswick, or later British subjects who migrated to New Brunswick and on into Aroostook. Immediately, this loyalist population displaced the French Acadians who had been living on the river. And some of them asked permission to move into the upper St. John River basin and settle it, and got permission to move there, settling between the Grand Falls and the Madawaska River, coming into the St. John from the north. And it became known as the Madawaska Settlement, or later the region became known as the Madawaska Territory. They were joined there by other Acadian exiles from Quebec and some of the Quebec families that they perhaps had married into, and others who might have joined them. This Madawaska territory was later divided, of course, by the Webster-Ashburton Treaty, and part of it is on the southern side of the St. John River and thus part of Aroostook County, while others were left on the north by the treaty. This French-speaking population is a large and very important segment of the present Aroostook population, represented by many tapes in this set of historical tapes from Van Buren and Fort Kent, for example. The independence of the United States created a new problem after 1783. This is a revival of the boundary question, and what is now Aroostook was part of a zone of international rivalry and a point of conflict again. There's something in the nature of territories and provinces and states that make them eager to obtain all of the land that they can possibly claim title to and its resources. Probably in order to become big and prosperous and important sections of their federations. In any case, the problem arose immediately after the Treaty of Peace of 1783, partly because the treaty itself was vague enough in its description of the geography of the probable boundary to give room for difference of interpretation. In the first instance, it was between Massachusetts and Nova Scotia. Negotiations of 1797 and 1798 settled the St. Croix, or southern part of that boundary, as far as the source of the St. Croix, Levis out where Holton now is. But from there, the boundary would run due north until it would strike the highlands, which divide the waters that flow into the Atlantic from those that flow into the St. Lawrence. And here was room for a lot of difference of opinion. The people of New Brunswick, of course, hoped that that range of highlands would be pretty far south, whereas the people of Massachusetts hoped that the range of highlands, claimed that the range of highlands would be up pretty well to the St. Lawrence itself. It mattered very much to the British government, of course, because if the United States reached very far north, it would interfere with their communications between Halifax and Quebec, which in wintertime had to go by way of the St. John River route. The Massachusetts, early in the 19th century, began to push its claims to the territory by granting lots and townships of land to worthy causes in order to extend its claim of exercising, practicing jurisdiction. Hence, Holton was settled in 1805 under a grant of land to New Salem Academy in Massachusetts. There were several of these academy grants which resulted in the present townships of Linnaeus and New Limerick and Bridgewater, Limestone, for example. But not much settlement could actually grow here so long as the boundary controversy existed. The War of 1812 between Britain and the United States grew out of other causes, but this territory was a strategically important territory, and the people who lived there, few though they were rather anxious. The inhabitants of Holton and of Woodstock made their own little pact of neutrality. And the people of Madawaska were rather anxious when troops approached, but they turned out to be British troops on the way from St. John to Quebec. So nothing serious happened. The Indians remained neutral and kept out of any hostilities that might otherwise have existed. The peace at the end of the war was followed by negotiations in 1817, which produced no result, with New Brunswick leading the British claim to a very large amount of territory, and on the other hand, Massachusetts leading the United States claim to a very large amount of territory. Otherwise, British veterans of the war were settled above Woodstock on the St. John River as far as Grand Falls, closing that gap between the Loyalist settlements and the French settlements. This period also saw the beginning of settlers on the Aroostook River, attracted by the lumber that was so plentiful all through Aroostook County. The pine trees were particularly attractive and could be cut so easily and floated down the Aroostook River and on down the St. John River to market at St. John itself. In view of the disputed claims to this territory, which came to be called the disputed territory, there seems to have been some sort of informal understanding between Washington and London about not being activists in this area. And there was an attempt to prevent New Brunswick from giving legal licenses for the lumbering of for the cutting of lumber in that region. This seems to have been moderately effective. New Brunswick appointed a warden of the disputed territory to look after the region, but the government of the state of Maine refused to cooperate in those activities. And that was the next change of activity on the scene. The separation of Maine from Massachusetts in 1820 meant that ownership of this land was of very great importance to the new state, which was smaller. And the government, when it was established in Augusta, was closer to this frontier and a little more sensitive to what went on there. The value of the pine timber was becoming well known. The possibility that the soil underneath that pine timber was very fertile was very attractive also to leaders of the state of Maine. So Maine pursued a path that was very activist and at times even aggressive in pushing its claim to the disputed territory. The result was a series of crises between Maine and New Brunswick, between the United States and Great Britain, from the time Maine became a state until the dispute was finally settled in 1842. One of the crises that created a great deal of excitement at the time occurred in 1828 when one of a small group of Americans who had begun to settle beyond the French settlement on the upper St. John River, attracted apparently at first by the timber, but now attracted by the possibility that this might be American territory and that it might be beneficial to them to be under American jurisdiction. One of these men who made himself a leader of the group was a man named John Baker. And in 1828, he created quite a fuss by putting up the American flag, by challenging the right of British mail carriers to pass through the territory, and so on. He got himself arrested and was taken to Fredericton to jail. And this created a big to-do in the Maine newspapers at the time and created quite a lot of excitement even in Washington. The Maine government sent agents in to investigate, and the United States government sent an agent in to investigate, and things finally calmed down. Baker came to trial and was fined and went back to Madawaska to live. And the unsettled nature of the controversy went on. This is partly one reason why the United States was encouraged in 1830 to have the boundary considered by an independent international arbitrator, the King of the Netherlands at the time. He found that the wording of the treaty was very hard to carry out in terms of the geography of the region, and finally recommended a division of the territory in question between Maine and New Brunswick. Maine refused to accept this, and so the United States refused, and so the boundary controversy continued into the 1830s. In the 1830s, the pressure increased a good deal for political reasons, the rivalry between the Whigs and the Democrats, not for one thing, and also, and perhaps even primarily, because of the timber. The shipbuilding industry, which was so active and so important in both Maine and New Brunswick, was consuming a very large part of the pine timber in both Maine and New Brunswick, adjacent to the ocean. And by now, the timber had been pretty well cut up along the rivers, so that the untapped region available to even Maine and New Brunswick with plenty of good pine timber still was this disputed territory. The end result of which you have more illegal lumbering in the Aroostook River Valley and other valleys tributary to the St. John. In the 1830s, particularly around 1838, producing a crisis in 1839 known as the Aroostook War, when the state authorized a posse to apprehend the lumber men who were cutting the timber, floating it down the St. John River, lost forever to the state of Maine. And when it appeared that the government of New Brunswick was going to resist, then the militia also was called up. So that in February and March of 1839, you have something like 10,000 men in Aroostook or on the way to Aroostook. At this point, the federal government intervened and sent up General Winfield Scott to try to settle the controversy, to maintain peace if he could, and if not, to conduct the war that might result. Fortunately, he was able to get an agreement between the governors of Maine and New Brunswick to pull back their militia and military forces from the disputed territory and to let Washington and London handle the dispute from then on. To make a complicated story rather short, the end result was, of course, the Webster-Ashburton negotiation of 1842, under which the territory was divided, with Maine getting about 7/12 of the territory. It's generally understood that this is the most fertile portion of the disputed territory, and the British provinces retaining the remaining 5/12 of the territory. That eventually went to New Brunswick, for the most part. The treaty was probably a reasonably fair division. The New Brunswickers always claimed that Ashburton was drunk under the table by Webster. The Americans have always claimed that Ashburton drank Webster under the table in order to get his agreement to this